ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Nosebleeds Podcast, WFUV Sports' exclusive home for all the news from around the world of baseball. And it is finally that time of year. The Fall Classic is upon us. The World Series starts this Friday as of this recording. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd. As I just mentioned, the World Series coming up this Friday. I am Tucker Austin, joined by Max Perlman, Luis Andrade. Noah Fernandez is behind the glass working production for us. Joe Henry and Grace McCarron are also in studio, but they're just back there. You know, hi, Joe. Joe just waved. they're back there for NFL Friday recording later on today. But before we get into things today, obviously, the Dodgers won the National League. We already knew this. But the Blue Jays won the American League in a wild turn of events. I think now, before I even ask you guys how you're doing, I have to submit my formal apology to the Toronto Blue Jays, because last time I was on the Nosebleeds, I completely discounted everything that they were doing in this ALCS because they were down 2-1 in the series already and got bodied by the Seattle Mariners at home in Toronto in the first two games. So I was thinking to myself, okay, this is Seattle's series to lose now, and I think it certainly was at the time, but I also just kind of completely forgot about or tried to downplay the Toronto Blue Jays, but man, did they ever prove me wrong. But before we get into all that, how are you guys doing today? Max, we can start with you here.
I'm doing great. Yeah, similar to you, I was on one-on-one this weekend, and I was basically just hyping up the Mariners-Dodgers World Series. While Seattle was up 3-2 going back to Toronto, and I was just hyping up the Mariners-Dodgers World Series so much because I was like, oh my god, the Mariners, the scrappy power of friendship. I mean, Blue Jays got a bit of that, but you know,
Blue Jays have arguably more of the power friendship than the Mariners.
One of the more cursed franchises in sports going up against like a Diamond Dynasty team just got me so excited. But alas, we got the Blue Jays, who, I mean, hey, if the Blue Jays are going to give us just all-time moments, then I can't complain. Like, we saw some special Game 7. You don't see Game 7s.
You don't see a lot of Game 7s. You don't see a lot of special moments in Game 7s either. And we got both of those in the ALCS this year, Luis.
Yeah, going to that special moment, I remember I was, you know, hate watching as being a Yankees fan, and I'm sitting there doing my homework. I'm working on some Google slides, and I'm like having the game in the background. I'm kind of zoned out, and then I hear like nothing. Like there's no announcement going on. I'm like, what's going on? I switch back my slide. I just see like George Springer putting on his jacket. Yeah, I'm like, what's going on? Did I miss something crazy? And then I go back.
When
on
the
Twitter.
Jacket goes on, you know.
No, George. Okay, George Springer, a guy with a lot of postseason heroics under his belt. He put the jacket on, and he was leaning up against the bat rack. Like that guy. Storied career, like he's never had a moment like that in his life.
I was gonna say that moment. That's honest. That was a rare moment in sports in general. You don't see a lot of like when guys have a huge moment, they're usually really hyped up. They're trying to get the crowd going, like getting all their teammates' energy into it. The full gravity of this moment, you really felt it in that shot of George Springer. I'm so glad you brought it up because he puts his hands on the bat rack. And with the home run jacket still on,
so cool.
And is like staring at the floor, and he takes like a solid 2-3 seconds to like let his brain catch back up to what he's doing, or I should say what he just did, because Jose Bautista, he had the most electric home run in Blue Jays history under his belt, outside of. maybe walk him off, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life. This George Springer home run might wind up more memorable.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's...
Touch them all, Joe, by the way. Sorry.
No, I mean, it is the clutchest, by championship win probability added, it is the clutchest hit in ALCS history.
Wow.
Homer. It's one of the clutchest homers
ever seen. Not just in Blue Jays history, but in general.
In the history of the ALCS, there has never been a hit that has changed a team's odds more to win the World Series. It's amazing. And also, on top of George, it cut to his wife crying in the box. Like, this is a guy, he's probably going to win comeback player of the year. Like, he's probably top five MVP. Like, he's been through a lot with all the injuries. Obviously, you know, kind of injury-prone guy. I mean, he got hit by a 97-mile-per-hour fastball 2 days before this. So just an unreal moment. Like, sports are amazing. My God.
And he also, like, when he first got to Toronto, it was not a – it wasn't a running start for George Springer. There was, like, a year – maybe year and a half period where he just kind of flew under the radar as a Blue Jay. I almost forgot about him, to be perfectly honest, but nobody's forgetting about him now. Game 7 between the Mariners and the Blue Jays ended, it was Monday, I believe. Yeah, Monday night. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3. They won both Game 6 and to force Game 7, and they won Game 7. Both of those were in Toronto, so the home field kind of benefiting the Blue Jays more on the back end than on the front end when the Mariners were just dumping runs on them. But, I mean, you look at this series as a whole now, how huge was it for the Blue Jays to take the first two in Seattle? Like, that's everything now when you look at the series overall.
You needed to. When you go down 2-0, you always need to go back and take care of business out of town.
And the Mariners have been a hard team to beat in Seattle this year. Their fans have been really, really great in supporting them. You go to that game 5 when the Mariners, Eugenio Suarez grand slam.
The fact you have that moment and then do what you did and go back to crazy.
It is insane. Yeah. Like, to have that be the last taste in the fans' mouths when they left Seattle again. So, like, you lose the first two games in Seattle, fans are not happy about it, but then you win game 5. And suddenly you're closer than the franchise has ever been to the World Series. One win away from the Fall Classic, and they go back to Toronto, and the Blue Jays just they shut them down. They go 6-2 in Game 6, 4-3 in Game 7. And like we've been talking about, the Springer home run obviously did pretty much everything for the Blue Jays in that game. Mariners had a Julio Rodriguez homer. J-Rod also created the first run for the Mariners in the game in the first inning with a leadoff double. He eventually got knocked in. Cal Raleigh hit a home run as well. Like, what became the final note in what was maybe the best season by a catcher ever
is standing from Cal Raleigh. Standing on deck after Julio Rodriguez swings at 3 straight sliders out of the zone, which, I'm not going to blame him because he had a great game,
but
that is brutal, like, just brutal way to go out.
Yeah, and reportedly, hopefully the listeners have been on social media and saw the Brian Wu interview.
Yeah, that was
where they asked him about legacy.
Yeah.
Like, what's the legacy of this team? You guys accomplished so much and got further than you've ever gotten, like, in terms of being close to the World Series. And then right after the journalist finishes his question, someone in the background who is reportedly it's Julio. So yeah. I think we're operating off the assumption that it's Julio Rodriguez, just a blood curdling scream from the back of the room. And it's one of those moments where it could either get chalked up as like being super corny or being honest pain.
Not corny at all.
No. This was an honest, visceral pain. A lot of Mariners fans, I think, shared that pain too. So, like, you saw across social media people being like, yeah, that's like a pretty accurate reaction to what just happened.
I mean, this era of, like, Mariners baseball it started in 2022. That's the first time they made the playoffs, broke the drought. It started and ended with Julio Rodriguez. Like, he comes up 2022, top 5 rookie of the year, top 5 MVP, and he's kind of just had that same year every year where he starts slow and then just goes ballistic in the second half. Has become, when he's played in October, the two times he's been amazing. And he's their guy. He signed, 10-year extension? Like, he's their guy. You know, he has to represent this franchise. And the fact he cares is good to see. Like, I would bet a lot of money right now on a monster Julio Rodriguez year next year. I think he could put it all together first, like, put the first and second half together. That's besides the point. But, yeah, like, that's a guy who cares.
It was such an electric, postseason run for them. Like, not only because they made it so far, but especially that ALDS series against the Tigers. I think that's a legendary Game 5. I think that's going to go down in history.
That was back and forth, too. They played in a Game 5 in the DS and then a Game 7 in the CS. So they played effectively the maximum number of games.
And they came back to Toronto on, like, one day of rest and flying across the country. And they just had such a fight. It was like an electric team. I was rooting for them the entire way, even though, you know, Kyle Raleigh and Judge are bumping heads. I still love to see him play. And it's just such a heartbreaking way to lose. I really feel for them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we want to get into, like, because baseball managers, I don't think they do that much, but, like, this is one of the, that putting in Eduard Bizardo over Andrés Muñoz there, like, one of the worst managers.
Oh, there were certainly,
Seen in my life. I'll be like, I could not believe that. You have the top of the order coming up with eight outs to go, and you, like, hypothetically, you're putting in Eduard Bizarro pitched two innings yesterday. George Springer, Nathan Lucas, who has been great. And if one of them gets on, you're facing the hottest hitter on the planet right now, and you don't want to go to your guy who has pitched nothing. I think he pitched 18 pitches before he came into the eighth. And I know he looked shaky in the eighth, but why are we not putting our best on our best when it matters the most? Like,
it's not the first time that a poor pitching decision got made by the Mariners in this series either. I mean, you look at the games where Brian Wu was pitching, and he was coming out of games in like the fifth with relatively low pitch counts.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of one.
Bryce Miller came out, but they also took Brian Wu out of a game. They took Brian Wu out of game seven, I think, a little bit too early.
They did.
Yeah.
Like, all those decisions about pitching kind of compounded on the Mariners. They certainly had the offensive talent to go to the World Series, but I think it came down to the decision making when it was like when it came to the bullpens or using starting pitching out of the bullpen late in the series that it kind of wound up burning the Blue Jays and wound up burning the Mariners, not the Blue Jays, because then the Blue Jays, it was kind of surprising because when I look at their pitching staff, I don't see that much.
No.
They have one honest to goodness like starting pitcher who has been consistent for them, and it was Kevin Gausman. Bieber didn't give them a lot of solid starts toward the end of the season. Trey Savage is a rookie.
Trey Savage is probably going to
start. They like stumbled
Trey
across
Savage him.
Trey
Savage started the year in high A and is probably going to start game one of the World Series. That's
unbelievable.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's a dream for anybody. But it's unbelievable that a team actually managed to go to the World Series with a rookie like that. Like, the Yankees were trying to do this with Cam Schlittler, but it's even more of an extreme case with Trey Savage. Then you go to, like, Max Scherzer is, like, their next option. Hey, he's still got that dog in him.
Game four, give me Scherzer and Kershaw. I know
that
the Dodgers
would be
are
crazy. Yo, the Unkoff,
please,
the Unkoff.
Please.
Unkoff in the World Series Scherzer would be crazy. We just had Joe Flacco versus Aaron Rodgers in the NFL.
Well, Rodgers and Kershaw are fine.
So why
Scherzer
not?
And, Scherzer and Flacco. That's,
that's March, March out Scherzer. And
no, Scherzer is definitely gone, but Kershaw.
I think Scherzer got that. They face it off.
I think the Dodgers have enough. I think they have enough room to work with to start Kershaw in at least one game. we'll get into the Dodgers. But man, this now that we've given our due diligence, I think, to the Mariners, we can talk about the Blue Jays a little bit because they did win the pennant. They're going to their first World Series since 1993, which is unbelievable. They've been relatively competitive in the American League and in the American League East too, like for this whole period that they haven't been going to the World Series. They just haven't really been able to get over that hump. And with this young, like with this core built around Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I remember it also as a Yankee fan, Luis, I remember like trash talking them over like the whole this year was the trailer, next year's the movie thing. And then the next year they were just not nearly as good as the year before. But now this year, they did finally put the pieces of the puzzle together. Interestingly enough, without Bo Bichette in the playoffs.
He's coming back, though, right?
He's coming back, but there's arguments that exist now for, like, why would you, like, if it's not, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, they're going to start. I mean,
I don't know.
But did you, like, have you, like, I remember seeing the clips of him on social media, like, trying to run the bases, and he still was kind of, like, hobbling a little bit. So, like, I think if you're the Blue Jays, you should be very okay with the team that you're putting on the field right now, because it went to the World Series. Bo Bichette, if you bring him back and he hurts himself again in the World Series, obviously you would lose him for the World Series, but you also have to think about next year
a little bit. He's a free agent, so
they're not thinking about it if he gets hurt. But
Bo Bichette is definitely going to start game one over Addison. They will have him at DH because I would guess they are not going to want the lefty-lefty matchup against Barger and Snell, or maybe Lucas, but Lucas has been amazing for them, so... So we will at least see Bo Bichette in game one. Obviously, we'll see how he looks, and then they have to face Yamamoto. So they might want to go heavy lefty there.
Dude, I just say just play Bo Bichette for IKF and call it a day.
Yeah, honestly.
Well, the
Bo play second?
I think the consensus is that he's going to have to DH. But Maybe just to try and limit what he has to do physically.
If he just hits, doesn't play the field, kind of like a Aaron Judge situation from like the late August. Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Maybe even Kyle Schwarber, if you want to count him. He didn't get injured. They just like when he hits home runs and that's it. But yeah, this Blue Jays roster is really talented when it comes to not striking out.
Yes.
Just something that I learned the hard way as a Yankee fan when they played the Yankees. I thought to myself that I was more scared of the Red Sox than I was of the Blue Jays, but it turns out the Blue Jays are allergic to striking out. George Springer, obviously, with the big swing of the bat, he's got four homers on the postseason now with nine RBIs. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got ALCS MVP. He has six home runs and 12 RBIs in 11 games this postseason. Really ridiculous. That's to go with 19 hits as well. 442
I really want to give him his flowers because I don't think if it was not for his performance in Game 3 when they come back, when they go to away to play in Seattle, I don't think they win the series. Almost hit for a cycle with two home runs. Like, that's something that's video game numbers. That's something you're playing MLB The Show on Rookie. And I don't if without that performance, I think that was the spark. That was really the spark that kind of changed the momentum going in forward in the series.
Yeah, no. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with guys over 50 ABs in the playoffs has the highest batting average ever in a single postseason. So, like, we're seeing just he is playing like a god right now. Like, if you want to look at his I'm looking at a Statcast like pitch breakdown of his like all of his hits right now. Like, I don't know if you're NBA, you're familiar with ethical hoops. That is what Vladimir Guerrero
plays ethical baseball.
Like, look, the
ethical
pitches,
baseball.
The pitches, it is like it's every pitch type. It's all over the zone. It's
just
amazing hitting to watch. He is hitting so well that they have Nathan Lucas hitting second, and he protects him so well that Nathan Lucas is dominating and is getting pitches to hit. That's how scary he is. Like, it's.
Yeah,
it's just amazing to watch when a guy's this locked in.
Lucas is batting .333 this postseason, three doubles, excuse me, seven RBIs. Vlad's OPS is .1440, which is just unbelievable. But there is another guy in this batting order who should probably be drawing some attention still. He drew attention from the Yankee beat reporters here at WFUV during the Yankees-Blue Jays series. Ernie Clement.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
he's batting .429 in one fewer at-bats than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and has an OPS over 1,000. Like, that is not a guy who I was expecting to give the Blue Jays the production they were looking for. You look at guys like Springer, like Guerrero Jr., a guy like Anthony Santander, who has kind of had a down year in Toronto this year, or even Alejandro Kirk, based on the production he had in the regular season.
Barger,
too.
Marshall, all these guys.
There's other guys who you like are drawn to, and then there's Ernie Clement, who has been like he's been a good glove for them, but not a guy they necessarily rely on for offense. But he has been an absolute weapon offensively for the Blue Jays in this playoff run. He's the only guy on the team with a triple, which I think goes to show, like, this guy is here to grind it out and play good, honest playoff baseball, and that's why the Blue Jays are in the World Series. But moving over to the NLCS, slightly less to talk about in this series just because, you know, it was a pretty cut-and-dry sweep. The Los Angeles Dodgers manhandled the Milwaukee Brewers in four games. I mean, weirdly enough, the games were kind of close, but
there
the Brewers
was,
scored
yeah.
one run in every single game. I seriously, the Brewers had, did they finish with the, they didn't
yep.
finish with the best
they
record.
They finished
yeah,
with the best,
okay,
best,
so
record.
With the best record in baseball, and this leads many people to believe that, oh, the Brewers are, you know, they put something together this year. They go to the NLCS. So it's like, okay, they're not total flukes because they got through the first round.
No.
But, oh man, they ran into a buzzsaw. There's nothing else you can say. This Dodgers team is absolutely filthy. And Shohei Ohtani didn't really show up in the National League Division Series.
No.
But he showed up for the NLCS.
He woke up.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Brewers, Caleb Durbin, Yankee legend, he was locked in. He hit .308, .973 OPS. The next highest batting average is .220, and I'm not a batting average guy, but we got to get some hits, guys. Like 222, Jake Bowers. I mean, Yelich hit 070.
Yeah,
like,
there, that's a Yankee legend, right there.
Jake Bowers.
Oh yeah, my ball.
Yankees legend. Yeah, Yankee, was that 2022 team?
I think so. I think he played in the same outfield as Billy McKinney.
Oh my.
No, the. I mean, I brought this up on one-on-one. The Brewers hit 118 as a team, which is like lower than 2015 40-year-old Bartolo Colon, who hit like 130.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is just not like just. It was just hard to watch these guys hit. I mean, it's really fun, though. I obviously bring it back to the Blue Jays here. Blue Jays have – they have an 878 postseason OPS. Like, they've just been a historic offense. So seeing them go up against what has been just an absolutely godly group of starters for L.A. Like, Blake Snell, his changeup – like, he looks like Sandy Koufax, like Johan Santana. Like, just ridiculous stuff going on. And obviously Yamamoto got just the crazy mix with, like, the 92-mile-an-hour splitters. I mean, it's going to be fun to see, like, just – unstoppable force versus immovable object. That's what we're dealing with. It's awesome.
Yeah, a little bit. I would say unstoppable force versus very movable object. But, but I mean, that's just because the Blue Jays, you know, their pitching obviously does not stack up.
I was just talking about their I'm just excited to see their offense. Yeah, the pitching, I'm scary.
Offensively, like, because if the Dodgers, I'm not 100% sure if the Dodgers pitching staff really relies on strikeouts, but I'm sure they get a lot of strikeouts, but again, this is a Blue Jays team that is every single hitter goes up to the plate with an objective to be as much of a pest in the box as you possibly can. Like, get the pitcher annoyed at you for some of the takes that they make. And they do. They honestly do. Like, these pitchers are, like, they're trying to get chases. They're trying to mix up how they approach batters. Like, they're not getting... The Blue Jays are not getting first pitch strikes a lot anymore because they're hyper aggressive on the first pitch of an at bat. But then when they, like, you start them with a pitch outside the zone, and yes, they're aggressive, but they also all have the plate discipline to let the first pitch go if it's not good enough. So, like, as a pitcher, you would really struggle to find a way to get outs out of this lineup. Shohei Ohtani is
amazing,
disgusting. Not to, like, abruptly change gears there.
No,
but,
anytime Shohei Ohtani can be brought up in any context, it's okay.
I suppose he can at this point. I can't even say I'm that annoyed because it's just it's.
That was a perfect baseball game.
It's
he had 0.8 WAR.
That's it's like, greatness. Like, it is quite simply greatness on your screen every time he's there. It's unbelievable to have. Fox got to do something really special with that broadcast by having Shohei Ohtani. He struck out three batters in that first inning, right?
He did, yeah.
Of game four. So strikes out the side in the top of the first in game four. And then Fox, they usually transition a break with the pitcher. He walks off the field, goes into the dugout, whatever. The pitcher is now, like, done for the half inning. But no, Shohei Ohtani bats leadoff when he pitches. Yeah. So Fox followed him off the mound over to the on-deck circle where he switched all, like, his hat and his glove and everything for a helmet, batting gloves, and was, like, getting loose to get ready for his AB. And what does he do? What does he do as the leadoff man after striking out the side in the first inning? In case the Brewers weren't already down bad enough, down 3-0 in the series and staring down the barrel of elimination against an absolute juggernaut, Ohtani hits it to space. What are the Brewers even supposed to do with this guy? Like, you get carved by the same guy who takes your pitchers deep three times in the game. Three. One of them left the stadium.
Yeah.
One of them went over the roof.
That
was crazy.
That's like, I think you could count on your hands the number of people who have left Dodger Stadium, and that's not even what people are talking about Shohei doing. That's how stupid this game was. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's, yeah. That'll, yeah, exactly. That alone would be enough to make the news, but now it's like, I don't know what is the greatest night of all time when Shohei went for the 50-50 night, and he had three home runs that night too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the three-homer night to get 50-50 or the three-homer night where he also – what was his pitching line? I got to find this thing.
10 Ks.
Yeah, 10 Ks.
10 Ks in six innings?
Yeah.
No. Who does that?
Even
nobody.
No one does alone that. That's
just
amazing.
Shohei.
That's a rhetorical question. Like, you just answer no one. It's not a hard answer.
It's really unbelievable. I mean, he on this pace. I don't know. Is he already there? Is he the greatest? People are saying he's the greatest player who's ever come out of Japan.
Out of Japan, yes.
Japan. Oh my! Out of the world.
I think he's in the GOAT conversation already.
50 war and like.
That's insane. That doesn't sound real. His career's not even halfway over.
He's not real.
Full seasons, yes.
And he got away with a gambling scandal.
Oh, they love him
by putting it off on his on his translator.
No, so now it's so funny.
He might be the greatest athlete of all time.
He is. No,
because he dodged the gambling.
On and off the field.
Michael Jordan and Shohei Ohtani have gambling in common. All my goats have gambling.
Wow, they do. True.
I feel like when we're the old heads of the generation. We're gonna be like, oh, let me tell you about Game 4 NLCS. Shohei Ohtani.
The greatest game I ever saw.
I'll tell you. No one ever better than him.
But it's truly unbelievable because the Dodgers, like, they swept the Brewers with that game and an all-time performance from Shohei Ohtani. But Shohei Ohtani, he could take the Dodgers to the World Series and to winning another one on his own. But he is not the only guy on this team, and it is really scary.
There's only
that
like two.
This
other
lineup players, is majorly like the same as the one that went to the World Series last year. Mookie Betts is still here; he's batting close to 300 in the postseason. Yeah. Teoscar Hernandez is still here, and he has 4 homers, 11 RBIs in 10 games. Freddie Freeman, not hitting as well, but he's still a really valuable part of the team, both as a leader with the experience and as a first baseman in general. Tommy Edman is still producing pretty solidly. He's got a pair of homers in the postseason this year. Páez is not having a great postseason, but then you look at guys like Max Muncy, who will still have really competitive at-bats. Will Smith is still playing really, really well. And just across the board, this lineup is as difficult to get out as the Blue Jays are. So I think honestly, like with that all being said, I do agree with the battle of the offenses here. I'm excited to see how either pitching staff will go about trying to get outs out of the Dodgers or out of the Blue Jays. But for Milwaukee, I don't know if we need to give them too much.
No,
there's not that much to say.
Too much grace. There's not much to say when you get swept in the NLCS.
Milwaukee, they do this every year. I mean, their team is just they're built on depth and pitching depth and hitting depth. Which
I didn't want to have to say it, but I'm glad you did.
I'm a Cubs fan.
They
do this every year. Well, I'm glad they do it every year. I don't want what the heck. I don't want them doing anything. But no, there's a really good Foolish Baseball tweet about it. It's Milwaukee. Like the reason they're so good in the playoffs is because like they're. You know, 7th, 8th, 9th guys are better than your 7th, 8th, 9th guys. Yeah. But that just doesn't matter in the playoffs. We see they're the antithesis to the Dodgers because you saw Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Blake Snell going 8-9 innings. And it's like, yeah, it's like unguardable. It's like, you don't have to deal with that in the regular season. And whereas, you know,
in the postseason, they're going to leave him in. They're going to leave him in the postseason.
The Brewers having, like, you know, Jared Koenig, who has, like, a sub-3 ERA throwing 100 from the left side is really nice, but it doesn't matter when, you know, you have starters who are just not as good as the other starters. Like, it's just not
I do think we should we should shout out both Jackson Churio for having an excellent postseason. Dude was built for October. Yeah. And also Jacob Mizorowski, because in his couple of appearances in the postseason, he looked lights out. I still can't really get over the fact that he throws a 97-mile-an-hour slider. It haunts me in my dreams.
The curveball? I think the, like, 92-mile-per-hour curveball is worse.
I don't know. Like, pick your poison. Yeah. They're all, like, the most unhittable pitches on the planet, because he's a lefty.
In that, he came in, he threw in game 3. And
I think appeared in relief.
Yeah, he only appeared in relief, but I remember he threw that game 3, and there were, like, shadows, and he was throwing, like, 104 at the bottom
the
bottom of the zone. I'm like, okay, this is just, like, that's just the most invisible pitch I've ever seen.
They're painting corners, and they also can't see the ball for the last, like, 5 milliseconds that it's in the air.
No.
But, you know, guys, we gotta talk about this World Series game 1 before we wrap here. Dodgers and the Blue Jays, it's going to be in LA, I believe, game 1.
No,
right?
It's
in Toronto.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really like that.
Yeah, Toronto has a better record by 1 game. Okay, this is like that's kind of a digression if we go into this, but I'm just going to like say it to establish it. I have hated that the World Series is like home field advantage is determined by the records now. I have always hated it.
You want
ever
to be
since
the
it became a thing
game?
Because when it was the All-Star game had so much more weight to it. and the American League would win it every year, so it literally didn't matter.
But we also did just. It's, I feel like that's kind of a tough argument when we just saw like the best All-Star game ever. But yeah, game one.
True. I'm like again. Yeah. It's also just nostalgia. But anyway, game one is Friday, October 24th, 8 p.m. in Toronto. Rogers Center is going to be rocking. Yeah. They have like of the loudest fans, one of the loudest stadiums too, just based on how it's constructed, how it traps.
Awesome.
Especially when the roof is closed, but even when it's open too,
it's still pretty loud.
It's built to kind of bounce sound back into the field. Dodgers got to go on the road to open it up, so it's a bit of a different experience for them in the Fall Classic. Last year, they had home field advantage against the Yankees. This year, it's flipped.
They always have home field advantage because they always win 100.
But, it's interesting, and I also actually thought it was interesting, too, the difference between the celebrations. The Dodgers,
Andy Paz threw the pennant-winning ball into the stands. Like, that's...
This is the difference between when you haven't gone to the World Series since 1993 and you haven't gone since 12 months ago.
Imagine if the Mariners had won it. They would have been crying. Like, well, Vlad did cry on the field, but they all would have been crying on the field.
But yeah, we got to talk about game one a little bit. Blake Snell is going to go for the Dodgers. But Max, you said you think Yusavage is going to go for the Blue Jays. It's undecided
it
right now.
It could be Gausman. I hope they go Yusavage, though, because I don't like... I know Gausman appeared in this game seven.
They're going to have plenty of rest.
Nice inning in relief, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think they could. They could go back to Gausman. I think they have the space because you mentioned he pitched one inning in game seven.
It's 3 days rest, but just at this point.
3 days rest off an inning.
Well, I know it's off an
inning. He did have to get hot,
but still. And also, you know, those are probably the most intense pitches he's thrown in his life.
Yeah.
So I saw it with Matt. The Cubs did this with Matt Boyd, and he pitched on 3 days rest, started game one, got absolutely shelled, pitched on normal rest, came into game four, and was amazing. Like, I just don't think it's worth risking.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be Yusavage.
Would Yusavage be on normal rest?
Yusavage is on normal rest. Okay. And I think that's hype. I don't know. Get the rookie out there. Fire the boys up. Like five career
Especially
starts.
In Toronto, too. Yeah, because when he pitches at home, he has like all of the fans behind him.
Yeah, no,
he's
definitely.
Looked better in Toronto.
If it's not game one, it's going to be Gausman, Yusavage game one and two, no matter what. It's just what order they go in. But I don't know.
Still, with Snell going on the other side, it's going to be a tough task.
I have a stat here. Blake Snell over, because he was obviously. Snell and Glass now both longtime Rays, so the Jays have seen them a lot. Blake Snell over 79 innings pitched, 2.39 ERA versus the Blue Jays in his career, which I know obviously you know guys rotate, but you know let's just compare to Glass now, who has a 5.82 over 51. There are times when a team just like has tips on guys or has you know a good approach.
Yeah, like they have organizational knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
That they've collected
so,
about this guy.
2.39 is scary, but. Like, if we want to go way back and talk about how you were talking about the Blue Jays, like, discipline and working at bats, which I think will be really interesting against a guy like Snell who just throws a ton of balls and just has crazy stuff and guys chase it because it's ridiculous. Starters are not supposed to have the mix he has at the velocities. Like, it's stupid. But
especially as a lefty. It's another thing where, like, lefties... Okay. Lefty pitchers, especially starters, usually don't have the same velocity that right-handers have. Just because, like, from that other side, like, the opposite arm angle, like, being lefty just gives you enough of an advantage that you don't need the velocity. But when you add velocity to being a lefty, it becomes relatively unstoppable. The Yankees have that a little bit with Carlos Rodon.
And who got banged around by the Jays. So let's see it. I don't know. Like, I throw everything
against
the
Well, I mean, that's, like... What happened to the Yankees is what happens when you pump fastball all day and then like just try to blow it by them.
No,
because the Blue Jays they're aggressive and they have quick bats. Yeah. They can get the bat around and they can hit the fastball.
No, Snell's you will not see that with Snell. It's the changeup. Again, I brought this up earlier. The changeup, it is actually the command he has over it is the most. It's ridiculous. Obviously it's been a long time since he's pitched. Maybe he's lost a little bit of feel. I mean, I doubt it, but I mean it is dotted low and away every time. Like it is crazy. I don't know. That's a tall task. And then obviously got Yamamoto the Jays have never seen. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It's a tall task. But, I mean, if you just have to take one of these two at home. I mean, you cannot go down 2-0 going back to L.A. when you then have, like, your depth starters who have been very
can't,
shaky.
Can't give
like,
the Dodgers any more than they already have because they're going to come in. They're coming into this series heavily, like, favorites. I have to imagine they're favorites. They're just so unstoppable, or they've looked so unstoppable for most of this postseason that it's hard to see a way for the Blue Jays to get by them. But I agree. I think if they can take one in Toronto, that's how you make this a series.
Well, also with the one thing I wanted to bring up, the Brewers, there was two games that were totally winnable, like especially game one, like it just didn't go their way.
It was like a 2-1 game.
Yeah, and what was another one? 3-1 game or a 4-1 game, and it was like three bases loaded. Roki was kind of throwing the game. I mean, Suzuki was throwing the game.
I was a little shocked by the Dodgers' lack of ability to produce runs in the NLCS.
It was pretty low. The most they ever scored is 5 runs.
I think so, yeah.
I just think that because of that, because the Dodgers were being dominant, but not like a billion-dollar payroll kind of dominant that I'm used to seeing.
Well,
from
a $1 billion in 10 years, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Throw some money.
Because Shohei Ohtani's living in like a one-room apartment right now until he starts actually getting paid in like the 2030s.
Yeah, but I think the Blue Jays can put up a fight, especially, I mean, the Dodgers got all the momentum, but also the Blue Jays got all the momentum. It's going to be kind of a, especially game one, I think it's going to be a very slow game. It's going to be just battle the pitchers.
Yeah, both guys are going to throw. It's a lot of ball throwing pitchers. I won't chase oriented guys.
I won't ask for series predictions because likely nosebleeds next week will take place while the World Series is still going on, barring a sweep, I guess, which I don't expect at all. But let's go game one predictions. Obviously, we don't have a Blue Jays starter yet, but what do we think goes down in game one? At Rogers Center, it's Blake Snell on the mound, but you know, like you said, the Blue Jays are a little bit familiar. Personally, I think the Blue Jays, the way they've been playing offensively, I think they can jump out and maybe punch the Dodgers in the mouth and give them a little bit of a shock to their system. It could wake a giant, and it could make the Dodgers like so mad that they just win the next 4 games of the series. But I think the Blue Jays are going to come out, and I think they're gonna shock the rest of the baseball world a little bit with a win in game one. But what do you guys think?
I got like Dodgers winning 2-0, you know.
Really?
Very
Blue Jays
slow
team
game.
Doesn't score.
Not once. I think the Blake Snell is going to shut him down. You get Suzuki for the last 2 innings and just shut him out completely. I think it's possible.
So seven full scoreless from Blake Snell.
Jesus. The last
I like it. It definitely could happen.
The last 3 years we've seen just every World Series game 1 has been just an absolute classic of a game. So I'll say that again. I'll say it's like, I think low scoring because I think I really hope they go Yo Savage. I think it'd be so cool. I think they're gonna pull him very early, and then the bullpen is just gonna have to lock in. Louis Varland his arm is probably gonna be cooked by the end of the year. I don't know if he's thrown every game for them, but I mean, I'm gonna go Blue Jays. I don't know. This should be a fun series. The Blue Jays are hitting amazingly. That is good baseball. You don't see that a lot in the playoffs. Usually it's the pitching depth that matters, but we're seeing a team just bang it around, which is sick. Blue Jays 3-2.
I'm trying to figure out. I mean, you said Dodgers, so at least we have some split at the table here.
Oh.
So like I'm nervous that we're like leaning towards
Blue Jays. I'll be honest, I'm just predicting what I want to happen.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to, I don't want, like, it's not fun if Blake Snell just shuts
exactly
them down.
Exactly what I was worried about. Yeah. I was nervous that we were like, oh, okay, we just really don't want the Dodgers to win the World Series, so now we're guessing that the Blue Jays are going to win it. I honestly think that the Blue Jays can win game
100%.
One, but if I had to pick somebody to win the series eventually, for me, it seems like the Dodgers are really just set up to do it. But, you know, hey, you know, if the Blue Jays win, they might save a baseball strike, at least according
to
Jeff Passan.
No, it's over. The Blue Jays have like a top 5 payroll. Like, it's over. Like, it's not, it doesn't matter. The Blue Jays just paid Vlad $500 million this offseason. Like, we're not.
And it might go down as one of the best deals in baseball history because that man is carrying the Blue Jays through the playoffs. Majority. He's had some help. But Vlad Guerrero Jr. has put the city of Toronto on his back when the Maple Leafs cannot. anyway, that is just about going to wrap us up on the Nosebleeds this week. Again, Game 1 of the World Series this Friday, October 24th at 8 p.m., the Los Angeles Dodgers visiting the Toronto Blue Jays. We will have more coverage of that next week on this show, but that's going to do it for Max Perlman and for Luis Andrade, for Noah Fernandez on the production for us today. I have been Tucker Austin saying so long. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.